He conjured up a plan for his act.
You had a magic trick that he wanted. Mr. Bailey gave you some money for this trick. Or I think they don't call it a trick anymore. They call it an illusion.
But was their deal all hocus pocus?
I have the check right here of the amount that we gave.
I'm not buying what you're giving me because it sounds like an illusion to me.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Magician Robert Bailey is suing illusion builder David Pavlov for the return of the money he put down to purchase an illusion.
Order. All rise.
Case number 451 on the calendar in the matter of Bailey versus Pavlov.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Judge, parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
All right. This is a relatively easy contract case. The subject matter may be a little unusual, but the case shouldn't be. Mr. Bailey, do you make your living doing magic?
I do now, yes.
Now since when?
Since 1989.
That's an odd answer then. I mean, because that's a long time ago. When I said, do you do magic as a living? If you do it since 1989, that's a very long time. Do you do magic alone to make a living?
Yes.
And you've been doing that since 1989?
Correct.
You do that on your own, or you have a troupe, or is it just you?
I started a nonprofit organization that helped me to put shows together, veteran shows, fundraisers for Native American causes, as well as for school assemblies.
Are you registered with the government as a nonprofit organization?
Yes, I have a 501c3.
What's the name of the organization?
Linking Rings Performing Arts.
Did you draw a salary?
No.
How do you support yourself?
From the shows that we get and the sponsors that we...
Well, explain to me how it works. So you're a 501c3 corporation.
Correct.
That you started in 1989. To put on shows for various groups of people.
I do fundraisers for them.
How do you make your money?
I make my money based on if it's a production that I need to buy illusions for, I go to the foundations or sponsors, they give us money, and then I also get the money for my salary from the different foundations or...
What foundations?
I
want you to give me a very clear example, Mr. Bailey, of how since 1989 you support yourself from this 501c3 corporation. I want to understand it because okay. I like to learn new things, but I'm, you know, thick. So you're going to have to explain it to me like a child, like I'm not a lawyer. Do you understand?
Yes, ma'am.
Go.
What I do is I would go to a foundation or to a sponsor, corporate sponsor, tell them that I'd like to have you give us some money for us to do this production. Included in the production is also a fee, which is a reduced fee for myself.
For you. So you go to, let's say, American Express, mm-hmm. and say to American Express, I want to put on a magic production for the American Legion in San Francisco. That production is going to cost $50,000. Will you sponsor the production?
Correct.
And they give you $50,000, and from that $50,000, you draw a portion of that for your own income.
Correct.
For either performing the magic trick and or putting together the production.
Correct.
Okay. What percentage do you draw from the sponsor? It's either a percentage or a flat figure?
It's a flat figure, and it's usually $500.
How many of these do you do a year?
I'm budgeted for 10, and then I make the rest of my income on it's not through the nonprofit at all. It's shows that I pick up along the way, whether it be birthday parties or...
Okay. Well, now, you know. Eventually, I get the story, Mr. Bailey. So you perform yourself at other functions, birthday party, an anniversary party, a bar mitzvah, an upscale funky wedding. And for that, you are paid as an individual.
Correct.
I've used magicians at parties of my own very often, but if you're budgeted for 10 performances at $500, that a living does not make since 1989.
Yes.
What's the name of your individual company?
Tamaka's Magical Tour, Magical Tales.
Tamaka's Magical Tales.
Yes, in the magic performance that I do, it has a theme of Native American storytelling.
Now, you had a magic trick.
Correct.
That he wanted.
That's correct.
Mr. Bailey gave you some money.
Yes.
For this trick.
Yes.
Well, I think they don't call it a trick anymore. That has a negative connotation. They call it an illusion.
An illusion, yes.
As we get older, we know more and more about illusions. How long have you been in that business?
Well,
That's not a hard question. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years.
Since I was 13, so yeah.
So you've been building things for a long time.
Yes.
And Mr. Bailey gave you some money to build this illusion that he had seen.
Correct.
How much money did Mr. Bailey give you?
Well.
No, not a well.
Okay.
Look here,
okay.
A well is not a number. How much money did he give you?
It was a $64.50 deposit.
$64.50?
Yeah, $64.50.
Did you enter into a written contract?
There was no written contract because I had already had prototyped this specific illusion.
Don't tell me because.
Yeah.
He gave you $64.50 for what?
This particular illusion that he had seen advertised, and his contract was through a mediator, a retailer, that I was selling them through.
So you, let me try, you know, you people are all trying to confuse an old lady and double talk me. Mr. Bailey saw a trick. We're going to get down to basics now.
Yes.
Saw a trick in a retail establishment. He did a little research. He found out that you were the one who made the trick.
They pointed him in my direction, yes, ma'am.
I don't know what they did, but it seems stupid as for a retailer to say, listen, don't buy the trick from me. Go to the person who makes it for me and cut me out.
Well, I drop ship everything for them, Your Honor.
So what you're saying is he pays retail price.
Correct.
He personally gave you his check, or did it come through someone else?
It was through his nonprofit foundation.
Oh, I'm already not liking this. So let's understand this. The check you got came from your 501c3 organization, and that money is money that you get from Amex to put on shows for organizations that would otherwise not be able to have those things. But the majority of your money is made from doing magic privately.
Correct.
Not through this. So why would you use 501c3 money to pay for this magic trick?
Because the magic tricks that I use, or effects that I use, I guess it's an illusion, are just to focus on the nonprofit the ones that I do for nonprofit, because by technically
baloney.
they own the
baloney. That's baloney. According to you, if I believe everything that you said to me, you take a $500 fee, Mr. Bailey, and you're budgeted, I don't know what that means, for a maximum of 10 performances a year. That's $5,000. And you gave him, according to this, $64.50. So something is not making sense to me.
Well, what I did, I have the check right here of the amount that we gave. It was under the understanding that I was going to the sponsor to pay for the balance.
Why would you go to the sponsor to pay for anything? You're going to use it for private purposes. Why would you ask a foundation to pay for anything that you're going to do privately?
No,
that
this
doesn't
is
make
not
sense. It's very smart. But
no, what it is the show that we were doing was at the American Legion.
What? You were going to do one show with this trick, is what you're telling
no,
me?
No, it was going to be more than one show.
Two shows. Five shows.
Correct. It was going to be put in the act, except for the acts that I was going to do on my own, because I have a separate set of illusions just for that. Matter of fact,
Bailey,
I don't even have
Mr.
illusions.
Mr. Bailey, I want to tell you something. I'm not buying what you're giving me, because it sounds like an illusion to me.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
If what you are using are funds that I find sort of suspect, I'm not going to make that dirty hand clean. I'm too much of a hard egg.
And later today,
I was afraid that the dog's going to start shaking his head and rip out her throat. So I put that other dog in a chokehold.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Magician Robert Bailey says illusion builder David Pavlov owes for the return of money he paid for an illusion.
Mr. Bailey, I want you to pay careful attention to me.
Yes, ma'am.
The hairs on the back of my neck are standing up. That's never a good sign for you. You can either have me finish this case, or you can go back to small claims court and sue Mr. Pavlov, and I will dismiss your case without prejudice. Because I'm telling you right now, this case is going to take a lot longer, with a lot more paperwork than you got there in front of you. And quite frankly, you're not going to wind up with the answer that you want from me. Because when you have a 501c3 corporation, that means that whatever you do, you're really doing from here. You're not doing it from here, you're doing it from here. So I think that this is sort of a gray overlapping between charity and not. And I don't want Mr. Pavlov to get away with anything, because if he in fact took the money and didn't provide you with the piece of equipment that you want, you should be entitled to it back. And he should not be able to profit from that. However, if what you are using are funds that I find sort of suspect, I'm not going to make that dirty hand clean. So I would strongly recommend, Mr. Bailey, that you go back and try to convince another judge someplace else. Not this one. She's too much of a hard egg. That by you using 501c3 funds to buy a magic trick for so far $6,500.
The total amount was 19.
I don't care what it was, some total amount, $19,000. So you got a sponsor to pay $19,000. That's what you were looking for, to buy a magic trick. It's not going to play with me. And I don't like him to get away with anything, because I think that he owes you some money, or he owes somebody some money, and I don't know who. So I think you should go back. Try to square it away. You're not going to square it away with me. Go back someplace else. That's all.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Where's our excuse? And they step out.
For 2 years, I've had the illusion. They want their money back. I'm saying, I fulfilled my part of the agreement.
It's sawing a person into thirds, and it's not your assistant, it's an audience member.
He's a consummate professional.
It's making me feel bad. I should next time learn from this that I'm not a very good judge of character.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of Fluke versus Dio Taviano step forward.
Carrie Fluke is suing her neighbor, Jennifer Dio Taviano, for vet bills and damages after her dog was attacked by Jennifer's pit bull mix.
Ms. Fluke, it is your claim that the defendant's dog got loose and bit you.
Bit my dog, attacked
your
my dog.
Your dog, excuse me, bit your dog, and you fell and were injured as a result of
the attack.
The attack on your dog.
Yes.
This happened where?
In the mobile home park that we all lived in at that particular time.
How long had you lived there?
I had lived there for about 5 years at that time.
And how long had you lived there?
I just returned back from South Carolina. I've only been there 2 weeks.
What kind of a dog do you have?
He's a Bull Terrier mix.
Were you at home at the time of the incident?
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Fluke says that she was walking her dog. Her dog was leashed.
Yes.
What kind of a dog do you have?
Terrier mix.
How big?
About 20 pounds.
Okay. So the defendant's dog jumped over a fence or just came out the gate?
When we were walking, or when I was walking, Annabelle was leading. She's not the best trained dog. My mother and my sister, we were just talking, and we saw a pit bull, blonde pit bull mix, come out by some hedges. And we stopped because the dog, we were like, all right, dog loose, don't know what the dog's going to do. So we stopped and waited, and the dog turned around and came towards us, but just kind of trotting. No growling, nothing that would indicate
aggression.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
How did your dog get back into the backyard?
That I don't know.
Could it have been your cousin that put the dog back into the backyard? The dog didn't open the gate himself.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Carrie Fluke says neighbor Jennifer Diotaviano is responsible for vet bills and damages resulting from a dog attack.
Go ahead.
We saw a pit bull, blonde pit bull mix, come out by some hedges. And we stopped because the dog, we were like, all right, dog loose, don't know what the dog's going to do. And my sister has dogs like that, so she was using her firm voice, stop, go away, whatever she was saying. The dog went right by her, went by my mother, who tried to shoo it away. And by then, my dog was on the ground, totally submissive. And I was just kind of watching, but again, no growling, no aggression, no indication that something bad was going to happen. And then all of a sudden, when her dog got within nose touching to my dog, her dog just pounced and grabbed my dog on the left side of her face and jaw. And I was afraid that the dog was going to start shaking his head and rip out her throat. So I put that other dog in a chokehold. And it's summer in Sacramento, so I was wearing shorts, and so my knees got scraped up, and my hands got hurt trying to get the dog to let go of my dog.
What was your dog doing out?
He wasn't out. He was in the backyard. We have a gated backyard. I wasn't out there to know. I just got home from work, and I was in the backyard with him for a few minutes, and I shut the gate behind me to make sure he was still in the backyard. Went into the house to chat with my mother to see how she was doing, and I was in the back room. When I came back outside, a cousin of mine came up and said Rocky had gotten loose. And I said, what do you mean he got loose? Because he was back in the backyard when I came out. And he said some people were saying they were knocking on the door, but I didn't hear any knocking on the door. I asked my daughter, she said there was nobody pounding on the door. So I went to look for the people with the dog.
How did your dog get back into the backyard?
That I don't know.
Could it have been your cousin that put the dog back into the backyard? The dog didn't open the gate himself.
I don't know. I didn't get to see any of it. I don't even know how he got out. Anyway, so I went to go look for the person with the dog, and they were gone already. And there was another lady out there telling me the story, and she was telling me
what
happened.
Don't tell me what she said to you. It's hearsay.
Okay.
What is your defense?
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Want justice? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay. She wants you to pay for all of the vet bills.
Right.
She wants you to be responsible for the actions of your unleashed dog. And I would like to know what your defense is.
Well, there's another dog in the neighborhood that looks very similar to my dog. They're almost identical. And at first I thought maybe it was, because I didn't see any blood on my dog. I didn't see anything indicating he'd been in a fight. But at the same time, she notified the management and they came over to tell me I needed to either make arrangements to make payments or my dog had to go. And I said, okay, I'll pay her when I get paid on my payday, which was 2 weeks away. And I gave her a $200 money order, and it went from there.
What went from there?
I continued to make some payments. Then,
well, how many payments did you make to her?
$575 altogether.
So you acknowledged responsibility, but then you just stopped paying her. So you have no defense. You just said, I stopped paying her. How much were you supposed to have paid her?
She wanted $836 total.
Is that what you agreed to accept from her?
Yes, that was the total of the vet bill.
$836.84.
I have a copy of the
vet
bill.
And how much? That's what you agreed to. That's what she agreed to. And how much did she pay you?
There's a balance of $377.92.
Fine. Anything else we have to talk about? Great. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of $377.92.
I would like to show you my injuries because...
Just a second. That's what you agreed to, right?
That's right.
Great.
Is that excuse? You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
It was horrible. I was terrified that I was going to see my dog's throat ripped out.
The manager of the complex said either make payments or get rid of my dog.
I just didn't know what to do except try to get the dog off.
My son was crying at the time and he was very scared and upset.
After the attack, and it wasn't a fight, it was an attack, her dog went immediately and sat down in her driveway and on her porch.
We just had gotten rid of our cat before we came out, so it was a very emotional time.
My sister had to use a pole to knock on the door because she was afraid that to go near the dog again.
He's fine with people. He's not usually aggressive.
Keep control of your dog. Make sure that if you have a dangerous dog or any type of dog, really, make sure that your gates are definitely locked high enough that they can't jump over, and take responsibility for your dog.
I wish the person well, their dog well, and that's it.